Toasties. I'm Missy, here with my bestie, Johnsy.
Hey, y'all.
And welcome to our Toasted Shenanigans. How you doing?
Exhausted.
Same.
Yeah.
Kind of. I don't know. I feel like I had a very unproductive day. I was off. I forgot I was off today.
I thought you worked today.
I told you I did, but I forgot I was off today because I had things I'd get done during the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had school meetings and bank meetings that were a waste of time. And got my hair done.
Adulting.
Adulting, yeah. I was adulting. So now my hair is finally not, you know, three-toned. It's more two-ish.
It looks good, though.
Thank y'all.
I like it.
Thank you. I don't like that straight.
I like your curls better.
Yes, I do too. But the girl at work, she needed to practice blowouts.
Okay.
And I don't care. I didn't have anywhere to go or do. Well, I had places to go and do things, but I didn't care either way, though. It didn't bother me any. Just, I don't like it. It's straight. It's bothering me. I don't feel like myself, guys. I'm already not myself because I am no longer red.
Yeah, no. It kind of has a red tone to it, kind of.
Well, yeah, it's going to because red's super hard to cover. But it neutralizes it so it's not like red.
And then red, yeah.
My roots coming through because I'm trying to go natural, guys. I'm embracing my gray hair because I fucking love them.
Gonna be a silver fox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am embracing it. You guys are going to hear my jingly ice. I'm sorry. But I've been liking them for a while. I don't know why. I think because they started coming more in chunks rather than just like a straggly one here and there. I can see them being annoying when they're straggly because I did hate them when they were straggly.
Mm-hmm.
But now that
they started popping up.
Now that they're like coming in more like streaks, I'm like, ooh, those are cute. People pay money for these things and I'm just got them because I'm old.
Oh, and joys of adulting.
Oh, yeah. My back hurts too, guys.
Oh.
What you got in your cup?
Just H2O.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I feel like I might be coming down with something.
Okay, I'm sending you home with shit. Got it.
So, I mean, I've got to go home and take my stuff that I have anyways, but.
You are also stressed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that's why you catch everything.
Yep.
Okay.
I know.
Because your cortisol levels are like non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're super susceptible.
Again, adulting.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that shit. What you got?
So I got the Belle Isle blood orange and I did the cream soda idea. And I might have put too much blood orange in there. Because it doesn't taste like the Dream Skull like we thought.
Is it kind of, it just covers it up? It's okay.
Just don't drink out of the straw. You're fine.
Oh, shit. Can I just move the straw out?
I don't care.
Okay. I mean, it kind of does.
It's got like a slight hint. Yeah.
It just needs like, I think, less stuff. Like, it doesn't taste like alcohol at all.
No, it just tastes like blood orange.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with this one. It don't taste like alcohol. Both of them. I didn't taste alcohol, even with the lavender lemonade one. Which, by the way, I have a fridge full of lavender lemonade that I made myself. It's not the alcohol. It's just lavender lemonade.
Just the lemonade.
Mm-hmm. I was craving it, and I made it, and I haven't drinking it. Because I made it, I'm like, and I'm done. And I think it's the lavender stuff that I bought. It's culinary use, but it's, like, potent.
And so is it, like, too strong?
I think it's too lavendery, yes. And that's once it's too floral, I just want to dump it. But as you saw on my island in the kitchen, I have an obscene amount of lemons.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make another batch. It's fine. That I just might make regular lemonade. Fuck it.
Well, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about a topic that's pretty touchy. And it's going to be a good topic to talk about because it needs to be fucking talked about.
Mm-hmm.
As everyone knows, March is supposedly International Women's Month.
I didn't know that.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's not only is it International Women's Month, there was just a day that was International Women's Day. Yeah. Is that my calendar? It might be on yours.
I never look at my calendar.
Yeah.
Is that I'm not Virgo.
I didn't put it there.
I'm just saying, I don't look at my calendar. I'm not Virgo like you.
Honestly, couldn't even tell you which day was actually International Women's Day.
First day of Women's History Month. It's Women's History Month. Better to discuss this.
Well, yeah, even way better.
There's stuff on my calendar. I didn't put that there.
I didn't put that there either. That's like an automatic thing now because everybody has to be recognized for everything. And there's a group that needs to be recognized. And yes, that's what we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to talk about a specific person.
Okay.
And that specific person's name is Christelle Day.
Okay.
Christelle Day is a Native woman. As you guys know, we're talking about Native women because we're going to fucking talk about these women. Christelle Day was from Alaska, which there's a big Native community up there as well. And she had moved herself to Arizona.
Okay.
And the family of Christelle Day grew worried of her after receiving a Facebook message from her on December 22nd of 2023, alerting that she didn't feel safe, she was fearing for her life, and that she wanted to leave immediately. Now, Christelle, unfortunately, was a domestic violence victim. She was down there living with a boyfriend who was harming her. And unfortunately for her parents, who are all the way up in Alaska, felt helpless. So they'd sent out multiple wellness checks.
Okay.
Upon one of these wellness checks, Christelle did answer the door and told the police she was fine. However, boyfriend was in earshot.
They need to find a better way to do those checks.
Yes. Yes. Now, Day's half-sister, Christelle, her half-sister Amanda said that the family's last contact with her was on February 29th. Although I find that hard to believe. I think they got that date wrong. Because something else, yes, that was not the last time they heard. I think that meant January 29th.
That's quite a bit of time.
So they got that message asking for help. They sent the police out to get her checked. And they didn't hear from her since. It was actually 3 weeks later that Christelle's boyfriend, the one who was abusing her, 3 weeks later contacted her half-sister to say he hasn't heard from her or seen her in 3 weeks.
Why would he wait that long? You don't hear from your significant other for a day and you reach out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little suspicious.
Yeah. So they didn't hear anything for those multiple times, right? And the family, after that, had tried 3 separate times to file a missing persons report on her. They never got it.
Why?
Apparently, she did not reach the criteria of a missing person.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can figure it out, cool, let me know, because I can't.
I know, because, like, adults just, they're allowed to just up and leave and not tell anybody and not say anything. What they're mostly looking for is just more, like, suspicious activity to file the missing persons report.
How about the fact that her parents sent multiple different wellness checks on her before she was finally gone? Just poof, gone. That's not suspicious. I think it's pretty also suspicious if he sat there and said, you know, I haven't heard from her in 3 weeks.
I think it is too.
But and apparently the boyfriend also tried to file a report and was denied. Now, I find that very odd as well. They didn't finally get any help. The parents ended up going down to Arizona and hired an attorney. Who is also a part of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Crisis, also known as the MMIW. Her name was Darlene Gomez.
Okay.
As soon as Darlene Gomez got involved, suddenly things started to move.
Well, go figure.
And she had asked them, you know, what the hell, guys? Like, why was this taking you so long to even try to get this? Like, what's the problem? And supposedly someone was out of town. Which seems to be a theme I'll get into in a minute. So they had tried the 3 missing person reports starting on January 31st. February 1st and February 2nd. And then by February 28th, when she jumped in, is when they finally were getting the help.
And the wait, did I miss something? This was this year, right?
This was this year.
So this past February.
This past February.
Damn. Okay.
And it was said that the sergeant told Gomez, quote, "You've clearly waited enough time and things like that, so we will enter her in as a missing person," end quote. And that was the sergeant talking on a recorded call to Gomez, the attorney, and her sister. Because her sister handled a majority of trying to get her found.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until, ironically enough, shortly after the file was made,
mm-hmm.
that a suspicious number popped up on their phones. They answered it, and it was a gentleman saying that he knew the whereabouts of their daughter, and that she is alive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did read somewhere that he also asked for money to get her back, or to give this information. He wanted $2,000. They gave him $200, and they got to talk to her briefly.
They actually got to speak with her.
They are not sure. They said that they aren't sure if it was actually her, because they got on the phone. She was very rushed. She was very hurried, and then got off the phone with them quickly.
How they not know her voice?
AI. So they're not.
I didn't think about that shit.
They are not sure if it was her or AI. Fucking however. Robots. Supposedly, Christelle has been found in his home with her family.
Wait, what?
Yes. Now, that's it. That's all there's information on for her.
I'm so confused. So she's not gone. She's with her family.
She apparently has now been found, but she went missing 2 months ago. The family did not get any help or any support on trying to get her found until this lawyer from the MMIW got involved. And then suddenly, like within a week or two, she was found.
Something very suspicious.
But I cannot find any actual confirmation that she was found, like something from her family, nothing.
Okay, so that's just like the news putting that out that she was found. The family hasn't made any confirmation.
Not that I can find so far.
You know, you can't trust However, the media.
The news put out that she's found. I haven't found anything saying otherwise that she hasn't been. But who's to say it's not? Because, again, we're talking about an indigenous woman. And that is where we are going to get into a little bit more of a bulk of the story.
Okay.
Because this is a problem.
It's a huge problem.
And we're going to talk about some Native, or we're going to talk about some women's history. That is this country's history. Are those women.
Yeah.
They are the United States' true American history women. And unfortunately, they are a very, very targeted group by a lot, which then made what is now known as, like I said, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, MMIW Crisis Act. And this is not only for the U.S., but actually Canada as well, which we all just learned about the giant graveyard that was made of children in Canada. And if you didn't, I'm sorry I told you about it now, but I'm not sorry because it needs to be known. And those children needed justice because those children were actually taken from their homes to be put into that school because they were going to be converted into Christians. And now they're dead. They just went missing. Dead.
And nobody looked into it.
Nobody did until, I'm sorry, until it was too late.
Yeah.
Because they were bones when they were finally found. Now you guys have seen on TikTok and Instagram and all that fun stuff of the Natives that are really trying to get their voices out there some more. I know they pop up on my feed a lot of not just TikTok because I'm really not on there, but Instagram and Facebook posts, and you see some of them with the red hand over their face. That is the mark to spread the word of what is happening to their women and children. That is called the red hand, and there's just a widespread anger and sadness for what's going on with these people. And I don't mean to say these people like that, but this group of people. And the National Crime Information Center actually reported that in 2016. And again, I can't even find anything really that current, by the way. I did find some actually a little bit current, and I'll get down to that. But I'm going to go in a timeline kind of here for you guys. But in 2016, there were 5,712 reports of missing American Indian and Alaska Native women and girls through the U.S. Department of Justice Federal Missing Persons Database, and they only logged 116 of them.
The fuck?
Yes.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, that's a fucked up ratio, guys. You might want to fucking fix that one. The MMIW Red Hand, a red hand over the mouth, has become the symbol of a growing movement, and that's the MMIW movement. And it just stands for all the missing sisters whose voices are not heard. Mm. It stands for the silence of the media and law enforcement in the midst of this crisis. And it stands for the oppression and subjugation of Native women who are now rising up to say, no more stolen sisters. Hashtag no more stolen sisters. Mm-hmm. So why is there a widespread silence on the MMIW issue? There's numerous reasons. But at the forefront lies the issue stemming from the Indian Relocation Act, which, give you guys a quick brief on that one. It just had to do with they got moved from where they were. Many Native Americans do not actually live on tribal lands or reservations, maybe only about 22%. And many frequent a lifestyle of transience between tribal and state lands.
That makes sense.
Because the tribal lands are, they're garbage.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's garbage.
There's a lot of crime because they manage their own crime. There's a lot of shady stuff that happens there too as well.
Mm-hmm. And the land that they're shoved on, is they can't do anything with it.
No.
It's, the biggest place of it is Montana.
Yeah.
Which I'll get into that in a little bit. But honestly, like, I haven't continued to watch Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. I got into season 2. Not that I don't want to watch it because I think it's garbage or anything. It's actually a really great show, guys. But I've never, ever actually seen a true representation of Native Americans and how they're treated than I did in that show. And yeah. It's probably still mild.
Oh, very, very much so. There's stuff, because they didn't really focus too much on the Indian reservation besides the whole, like, casino movement and that kind of stuff.
Well, not just the casino movement, but, like, the fact that Casey found that girl in the van, mm-hmm. and she's like, we don't talk about it. You mm-hmm. just let me go home.
Yeah.
And just what happens to their own homes.
Yeah.
Casey and his wife were living on that reservation and how they were treated there. Mm-hmm. Even her brother and her sister-in-law, when they died, the mom came and got those kids, and she's like, this is why I don't live here, because that was a Native woman mm-hmm. who's like, I'm not being here. It's almost like they're easy picking.
Yeah, something else goes down on those reservations that's not spoken about.
Mm-hmm. But it's the closest representation so far. And like I said, it probably still doesn't scratch the surface too much. Native Americans residing in urban areas have few resources linked to their culture and tribal communities. And many urban Indian people living in cities fall into the pipeline of vulnerability. People of color, people of experiencing poverty, people coming out of the foster care systems, people lacking resources or family, people isolated emotionally, physically, or psychologically. So numbers don't lie. And like I said, again, this is just only from 2016. Native Americans today face some extraordinary challenges, and these statistics from the Urban Indian Health Institute were compiled from a survey of 71 U.S. cities, and the numbers speak pretty much for themselves. The Native American women make up a significant portion of the missing and murdered cases. Not only is the murder rate 10 times higher than the national average for women living on a reservation, but murder is actually their third leading cause of death for Native women.
Holy shit.
Murder. We're looking at heart attacks on our side here, and their third leading cause is fucking murder.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous.
Are you serious? Third leading cause for women, Native women. And that's just startling, because Native people actually only make up 2% of the U.S. population overall. Unfortunately, the youngest MMIW victim was a baby less than a year old. Mm. And the oldest was an 83-year-old woman.
Are you fucking for real?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
280 cases of murdered Indigenous women. 128 were cases of missing Indigenous women. 506 MMIW cases were identified across 71 select urban cities. 29 is the median age of the victims. And 98 were cases with an unknown status.
Jeez.
Now, there is a website called nativehope.org where you can go. And that's one of the few places that I'll give out today. And they actually have like a whole social media toolkit to help get their shit out there. And mm-hmm. you guys can learn more about them and help. Because this was unfortunately a fucking silent movement.
It has been, this shouldn't be silent.
This doesn't need to be silent. No,
it needs to be louder. Much louder.
And here's what's really bothered me that I learned. There are two important days on the calendar for the MMIW cause.
Mm-hmm.
February 14th and May 5th.
Both of those are other holidays.
February 14th is MMIW National Day of Action and Awareness. On this day, activist groups organize women's memorial marches around the country to protest class disparity, racism, inequality, and violence against Native Americans. The largest march takes place actually in Vancouver and has become a central point in the fight against MMIW. Everybody's so busy about if they're single or not that fucking day.
Yeah. There's no attention.
Because everybody's self-centered. Not everybody, but.
We're pretty self-centered human beings. Absolutely. As a society.
Absolutely. May 5th is the official MMIW day and is the most widely celebrated across the U.S. and Canada. Every year, individuals wear red and attend marches, rallies, bike rides, fundraisers, and more to raise awareness for the MMIW cause and fight against the injustice that's happening to Native women and their families every day. May 5th, everybody's celebrating with tequila and tacos.
Yep. Day of the Dead.
I don't care about tequila and tacos. I can have those any day.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's wearing red May 5th from now on?
Yeah.
I wish I would have known about these dates sooner. I think these dates need to be discussed.
I've never heard of them.
Never heard Ever. Of them. Well,
never seen any marches. Nothing.
Now you guys have. So wear your red on May 5th. On May 5th, we wear red. Unfortunately, it's not just the girls that go missing. In fact, 82% of Indigenous men are victims of violence in their lifetime. And Native children are more likely to experience trauma and abuse than non-Native peers. When educating yourself about the struggles of Native Americans, it's important to recognize and remember all victims of these crimes.
Mm.
So, you got men and women. Men do get abused too, guys. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, children are the easiest.
Yes.
So, we got that. Oh, also on that website, there's an education portion as well. You guys can donate and other really cool things to learn on how you can be involved to help get this awareness going out there. Now, like I said, the red hand over the mouth has become that symbol.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I get for trying to be like nifty and cool. Trying to have my stuff on my phone. Nationwide, murders, again, like I said, is the third leading cause for the Native women. And about 4 in 5 Native women have experienced violence. Native women are twice as likely than white women to experience violence. Native women also face a murder rate that is 10 times the national average.
Jeez.
And the murder rate of Native women is 3 times that of white women. And I'm not saying all this, guys, to be the whole white versus whatever. So get off your horse.
Oh my God, yeah, don't.
So you already tuned out. You might be part of the problem because you guys got to hear this. I know it's hard to fucking hear, but this needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because though we didn't start this, we're not doing a fucking thing to fix it.
No, not at all. Not even close.
And I'm even more disappointed because I'm going to, like I said, get into something. According to reports published by the National Congress of American Indians, 84.3% of Native women experience violence, and 56% experience sexual assault. violence is primarily committed by non-Native men. Mm. The horrific nature of Indigenous women going missing and being murdered is one that has its roots and foundation, like I said, in the U.S. and Canada's colonialism and ongoing genocide of Native peoples. So it's not just America.
No.
Mm-mm. But we're not going to sit there also and point the finger of like, well, we're not the only ones. Just because they jumped off a bridge, are you going to go? No, you're not. This quote here was pretty big. It's, quote, the high rates of violence against Native women and lack of accountability for such violence are clearly tied to federal intrusion, vulnerabilities created by such intrusions, and the failure to exercise authority to prosecute perpetrators for the last 500 years. Today, this pattern continues and is reflected in the lack of accountability of perpetrators documented in the minimal prosecutions and federal declarations by the United States attorneys of domestic violence, sexual assault, and traffic cases. End quote. Now we got some more information. 2019. According to the National Crime Information Center, 8,162 Indigenous youth and 2,285 Indigenous adults were reported missing out of 609,275 cases.
Oh my God.
Again, your ratios are fucking off, people.
That's a ridiculous ratio.
That's...
what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, many crimes against Native individuals go unreported and are misclassified as white.
I could see that.
So, Gwendolyn Hume, who is a scholar who studies tribal justice, she actually writes about MMIW, and she goes on to explain that going through mass historical trauma has forced Indigenous people to not trust authorities and not report the crimes that are taking place.
Yeah. Why would they? It seems like they're more of a target if they say anything.
Oh, they have every right not to trust.
Yeah.
There are issues with the judicial authority as well. Of course. We already know that.
Yeah, that's a given.
Mm-hmm. So if a Native family reports a case to the federal or state authorities, that authority may not take action on the case because tribal communities are treated as sovereign nations.
Yeah, they do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. However, tribal authorities often do not have the resources required for a missing person investigation. So basically, it's just a passing and back and forth of like, well, we can't do anything. You need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Another element to this is that the U.S. attorneys have declined to prosecute 2/3 of the Indian country sexual abuse and related cases referred between 2005 to 2009. So, again, when they were kind of helping, they were like, oh, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. And Hume argues that the organization that was enacted by early U.S. colonists exists today in regards to how Indigenous people are viewed by the majority white society as heathens. I've never looked at anybody and was like, oh, you're a heathen. Well, I look at my kids and I call them heathens. They are fucking heathens.
That's different.
Exactly. So boarding schools were one way to enact this genocide. And like I said, there was the one that we just talked about that was in Canada. And there was many, many others. There was actually one that was operated from 1860 to 1978. And it was in the U.S. And there were 367 Indian boarding schools in the area. According to the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition, more than 80% of the Indigenous school-age children were attended boarding schools that were run by the federal government or religious organizations. And then these boarding schools were designed to forcibly assimilate Indigenous children into white society. There was violent punishments used on children who spoke their language, wore traditional clothing, or practiced their own spirituality. Oh, that just... aren't we supposed to have freedom of religion?
Yep.
Mm. Freedom of speech?
Yep.
Okay. Physical abuse, mental abuse, and sexual abuse were used against the students. And this went on, like I said, until 1978 in the U.S. In early 2022, more than 500 children were discovered in a mass grave site. That was the one that we already talked about that was in Canada. Mm-hmm. See the problem, guys? You seeing it? I'm not even done. I'm not even done. So it is time for Congress and the United States to stop lip service without action. Mm-hmm. It is their responsibility and oath to push for the complete and thorough implementation of the Savannah Act. Mm-hmm. And as you probably know, if you don't, because I didn't at first, I had to look it up, which again, that's ignorance of my part. The Savannah Act was named after Savannah LaFontaine mm-hmm. Graywind, who was murdered in 2017 at the age of 22. And she's just one of an example of many Indigenous women and girls fighting the same fate. And the murder rate of the women, again, 3 times higher than non-natives. And it is over 84% of them are experiencing violence. Now, like I said, I didn't know about the Savannah Act. I'm like, what's that? So I had to look up the Savannah Act. So I was looking that up, reading up on that. Come to find out, that was an act that kind of was getting put into place in Washington, from what I read. And it was signed by President Trump in 2020. Mm-hmm. And now it's just not being acknowledged.
No, not at all. I remember when it was signed.
So is it not being...
It was a big deal.
Is it not being acknowledged because Trump signed it? Or are we not acknowledging it because it's Native American women? Or is it fucking both? Either way, you're wrong. Yeah. I don't care what your answer
Either
is.
Either way you look at it, it's wrong.
You're fucked up. This act was to protect these women, and it's not being used.
No, and it's a huge, huge issue.
And you can't even blame him. He's not in office, guys.
No.
He's not at fault for that because he signed it in 2020. He was out in 2021. Actually, yeah. So, because he signed it in September.
The only thing I think of is somehow the government's making some kind of money off it.
That's even more fucked up.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
That's even more fucked up. But Savannah Act was referred to the House Judiciary Committee. I hope I said that word completely right. That's a weird one to say. Judiciary.
Judiciary.
Committee and the House National Resource Committee. And then it just kind of went down the line. And it's not only just the Savannah Act. It was also, there's also another name that was the Not Invisible Act. Mm-hmm. And that was, oh, sorry. It was officially on October 10th, 2020, that the statements of President Trump signing Savannah Act and the Not Invisible Act. And the families and the loved ones of missing and murdered Indigenous women, this is a quote, by the way, by the Washington governor at the time. The families and loved ones of missing and murdered Indigenous women have waited far too long for justice. And it is my hope that we can begin working to ensure Native American women will no longer face violent crimes that go uninvestigated or unsolved. I am grateful for the tribes, advocates, and community members who have helped bring awareness to this issue, and for all of my colleagues in Congress who helped us take this important step. Now, I don't know if this was signed as a hope that he would win. Clearly didn't work, mm-hmm. but that's the thing. It didn't work. Somebody else had the right to take that over mm-hmm. and keep it moving.
And they didn't.
And they're not. Because otherwise that one woman from Alaska, which I hope she is found. I'm hoping because she is found, they did a quick, like, chop it down. We don't want to talk about her.
Hopefully.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that we're not being lied to. And family of Christelle Day, let us know. Please let us know she's home. Because mm-hmm. I want her to be home because you guys deserve to have her home. And she doesn't deserve to be in a place that's unsafe. She deserves to be safe just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because you guys are part of this land. This was fucking yours.
Yeah.
And I can't personally do anything about it by giving it back to you because I'm a fucking melting pot of people. However, we can do better. Give them some of their fucking resources back. Better healthcare, maybe. Mm-hmm. You guys want to talk about your lack of free healthcare here. They got fucking shit.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Nothing. They got fucking garbage. And, oh, wait, maybe that's the free healthcare. I don't know.
Could possibly be.
Which I won't even go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, COVID wiped them out. Just like any other illness we decide to give to them. You know, we come onto the land and bring syphilis and half of them are like dead.
Yeah, they have no immunity.
None.
It's irritating as is that we try to corral them and keep them in one place. That's disrespectful as fuck.
Well, I mean, if anybody actually wants to take a time to go learn about the Trail of Tears, in and of itself on that one, what do you think the Oregon Trail was made from? Mm-hmm. Ugh, makes me angry. So, where did the Savannah Act come from? Mm-hmm. Became law on October 10th, 2020. And the bill is named after Savannah LaFontaine Graywin, who was a member of the Spirit Lake Nation of North Dakota, who was murdered while she was 8 months pregnant in August of 2017. And she was only 22 years old. Mm. Yes. Now, there is a docuseries I have not fully investigated where I can read or watch this because it said that it was on Sundance. But I definitely think a lot of people need to go watch it.
Okay.
It's called Murder in Bighorn, and it spotlights the missing and murdered Indigenous women crisis. And it is mainly about three specific victims as well. When Henny Scott, a 14-year-old girl from the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation in Montana, went missing in December 2018, it took the Bureau of Indian Affairs 2 weeks to put out a missing persons report.
That doesn't surprise me.
Quote, her report just sat on a desk because the individual was out on vacation, end quote.
Yeah, because they're not going to have any other policies in place.
That was quoted by her mom, Paula. And it was just nobody was looking for her. And when the body of, I apologize if I mispronounce this name, Kaysera, I believe, stops Pretty Place. That is her name, by the way. She was an 18-year-old girl from the Crow Reservation in Montana, was found in August of 2019. Her family also wasn't alerted until almost 2 weeks later. Scott's...
What the fuck? Somebody on vacation again?
Apparently. Scott's and Place's remains were eventually found in Bighorn County, the sixth largest county in Montana, yet the mysteries of their deaths remain unsolved to this day. And there is, in this docuseries, they point out that the growing number of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in Bighorn specifically, because that is a very big area. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, this I see here now, supposedly it was on Showtime, so I'm not sure how to still get to that because I don't have cable. The rash of murders explored across the docuseries, there's three episodes, and like I said, they're kind of about three different situations, and but all of them Montana. But it also doesn't mean that the other communities and places aren't just as important. Just Bighorn County serves as like a microcosm of a large-scale issue. Basically, it's like a dot of a big issue. And the thing is, too, that's really annoying. So there was a pattern of the girls and women missing in Bighorn. So there had to have been a person specifically. But because of the not being properly investigated, their deaths were just concluded as, well, Scott's did show signs of physical abuse, but her death was determined to be caused by hypothermia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first, that was Henny. 16-year-old Selena Not Afraid's, that is her name again, Not Afraid's, her death was also linked to hypothermia. She was one of the other girls. I didn't mention her name yet. And Place, which was the young girl that I probably poorly mispronounced, her death was actually ruled inconclusive. And all these cases have been in limbo while law authorities avoid taking ownership of the investigation. So again, if a victim is found on reservation land, it is the a task for the FBI and Bureau of Indian Affairs. Whereas if it's on county land, mm-hmm. the local sheriff's department handles the case. And it's just been a game of, like, hot potato. So rather than anybody just saying, like, let's come together and figure out these girls' deaths, who's doing it and why, mm-hmm. they're like, well, it's not our job, that's your job.
The two societies have never been very fond of each other.
So with this docuseries, they said that the most important thing is that what they wanted to do was tell a human story, and that people need to know, and they need to be aware of this.
Yeah, be educated.
To let them know, like, hey, this is a growing fucking problem, and it needs to come into the public's consciousness, because these cases in Bighorn aren't the only ones.
No, this happens frequently.
Very frequently. And I've been wanting to speak on this for a while. I've kind of been hinting at it in a couple of different episodes of wanting to speak on it. And I figured, you know what, Women's History Month. And then I saw the International Women's Day. I was like, what better time than to do it then? Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, Christelle's story came up. Her story is so vague. I mean, literally you type that girl's name in and very, very little comes up. Mm-hmm. You can see the video footage of the police showing up at her house asking how she's doing, and you see her boyfriend kind of in the shadows, so she's obviously, you know, very quick. It's just, there's so little information, and it's sickening. I've seen everybody on TikTok, and if I'm seeing, I know you all are.
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of it. I don't see as much as I used to, but when I first got on TikTok, there was a lot of it. There's a lot of it.
Because they took the time to get themselves out there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't being taken down. I bet you they're running the same problems you and I get run into with TikTok.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Bullshit. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. May 5th, we wear red. Mm-hmm. Eat your tacos the day before. Eat your tacos the day. Fuck, eat your tacos now. Tacos can be eaten any day. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. We don't have to.
No. We need to, that's contribute in making an awareness.
For what is on our own land. Mm-hmm. It's not even ours. We stole it. But there's nothing more we can do about it. We can't give it back.
No.
But we're not even fucking saying sorry.
The least we could do is create awareness.
Yeah. So this is my start to create that awareness and help get that out there for them. Because it does bother me every day. Literally almost every day this is pinging in my head.
Well, what happens too when it's gotten to the point where, and hopefully it doesn't, but what happens when, you know, they're non-existent anymore?
They're gone.
Where does that activity move to?
Exactly.
It's not going to stop because you haven't stopped it yet.
Nope. I mean,
it's just going to migrate.
We've been owning America for how long now? That community was a lot bigger then. I just told you the Thanksgiving story and how they completely took away an entire tribe. The Pequot, gone. No longer allowed to be around. They now only make 2% of the population in the U.S. 2%? That's nothing.
No. And for them to still produce numbers like that is very, very frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like almost their entire population.
Yeah.
Or at least like 70% of it. Like, it's a huge chunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Do better, guys.
Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Celebrate all the women. Mm-hmm. All of them. Including the indigenous women. Because this is their land. And I might be wrong. I might have misinterpreted things that I saw. But I think it's kind of ironic that the women are the ones that are being targeted. Because from my understanding, again, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Native community, women are held kind of high up because depending on the tribe.
Yeah, depending on the tribe.
But especially the older they got, because they were just wise.
Yeah, because my grandmother was indigenous. Mm-hmm. And she was sold at 14 to my granddaddy. It was an exchange.
That was a Pocahontas story if I ever heard one.
Yeah.
That's a whole other one I could have went down, guys.
Yeah.
Stop sexualizing a child. Mm-hmm. She did not have relations with John Smith. He was a grown man. She was 12.
learn your history. Stop watching Disney movies.
Watch the good ones, at least. You know, Beauty and the Beast, Stockholm Syndrome.
That's my favorite one.
Little Mermaid, 16-year-old teen who thinks she knows best, and actually in the real story, she dies.
You know.
Yeah, why not? But yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And this is my tribute to them, and I'm going back on these websites, guys. There's so many websites to help do whatever you can. They have so many directions on what we can do to help. So just fucking click the button and do it. Even if you get the social media toolkit and post, I don't care. Do something. Yeah, share
it. Do something. The repost, whatever it is.
The thing is, guys, if you haven't learned anything lately, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they were quiet as hell. I knew vaguely of what was going on. I have a friend who actually, she is part Native American as well, and she's been really getting back into her. I remember in high school, she would talk about it. She did a lot of those like dances and stuff like that, and she competed. So she would talk about it. She showed me some of her outfits that she would wear. And then all of a sudden, like, she kind of stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I think because, again, the social media, and this is where social media can be great. She's back to embracing that part of who she is.
Good.
And unfortunately, she got called Pocahontas, which is really just sickening because it's actually
disrespectful.
It's very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. And, but she put the, you know, did the red hand on her face thing. And I'm just glad to see her getting back into that and trying to spread her awareness as well. So,
yeah, not let it get to her.
Yeah.
Still stand for what she believes in and move forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. Let me get that off my chest. Had to talk about the ladies in the ladies month. But until next time, make sure you guys are following, liking, sharing. Happy birthday to us still.
Yes. Our birthday month.
We're just going to continue that rule. Hope we saw you guys on TikTok, because actually it's Sunday now, and
yeah,
but we're recording ahead of time.
Live. Yeah,
we are doing our live. So if you weren't there, loser, would that be there or be square?
Might be the last chance. Who knows?
Who knows?
That TikTok ban.
Gosh, yeah.
Whole nother story.
But
exactly. Just to point prove it, we can focus on that, but we can't focus on what really matters.
Exactly.
But
until next time, guys.
Bye.